All right, Jabal say, good morning, good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors, to thank our sponsors for today's share, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Jared and Sarah Walansky, for dedicating all the Shirim and Drashos this month in the Schus of Refuah Shalema, for Zechariah Dov Ben Perel Shira, Shane Dean Avram Kelman, in memory of their beloved parents, and in the Schus of all those who need a Refuah Shalema, Dr. Linda Weinberg, in loving memory of her husband of 53 years, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peretz Moshe Ben Avram David, Selma Wolf, with immense gratitude to Hashem, with tfilos for health for all in the new year. And Leah Sol is a schus for Refuah Shleima for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, and for all those in need of Yeshuas and Refuas. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Cholim will have a complete and enduring Refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. We'll say today, and Yashkach again to everyone for the beautiful Mazonos. I will say with that, let us begin. So we have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Not even so much time. Today's daf is Mem Beis 42. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem. Let's pick up on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Hanicha, four lines after the bottom. So we'll say, so if you remember again, we are focused on one simple discussion over here, which is, from where do we know the concept of shlichus? Right? We have a concept, we have an idea that shlucho shel adam kimoso, a person's agency is an extension of himself. From where do we know the concept of shlichus? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Hanich l'Rabbi Yishol ben Karcha. So remember again, I will say, in yesterday's daf, towards the middle of the daf, so we had a statement of Rabbi Yishol ben Karcha. So Rabbi Yishol ben Karcha was the one who said, Minayin shlucho shel adam kimoso. How do you know that a person's shliach is an extension of himself? See, quote of the pasuk, "V'shachatu also kol kahal adas Yisrael bein ha'arba'im." Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach was his makar. Literally, the pasuk says, "All of Klal Yisrael will go ahead and shech the Karban Pesach bein ha'arba'im." So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Karka says, "Of course, you can't have all of Klal Yisrael shechting a Karban Pesach. Rather, what do you see from here? One person is shechting, and he's shechting it on behalf of the Klal." So from here, you see, Reb Shimon Karka says, "Shlucho shel adam kimoso, a person's agent is an extension of himself." So the Gemara says, "Hanicha Reb Shimon Karka." That's fine, okay, Reb Shimon Karka, you're good because that's how you dash in the pasuk. Ela Rabbi Yonasan, demafik le lahaykro le joshachinu menalan. Now, Rabbi Yonasan, as we're going to see for a moment, uses this pasuk for something dramatically different. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, he uses this pasuk for something different. From where does he learn the concept of shlichos? Disanya, I say, what does Rabbi Yonasan use it for? Disanya, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Minayin shekol Yisrael kulan yotzin bepesach echad, top of Membeis. This is actually an exquisitely beautiful Gemara. Rabbi Yonasan says, from where do you know that, technically speaking, all of Klal Yisrael could be yotzei karban pesach with one karban? One carbon, that you can bring one carbon on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Shene'emar v'shachatu also kol kahal adas Yisrael ben arbaim. The pasuk says, they will shecht it referring to a singular carbon Pesach, all of Klal Yisrael in the afternoon hours. V'chi ha'kol ha'kal kulam shochtim. Does everybody have the ability to shecht? You can't have a whole nation shechting one animal. V'alo eno shochet ela echad. Only one person shechts. Rather, what is the pasuk teaching me? Ela mikan. Shekol Yisrael yotzim bePesach echad. Technically speaking, I will say, according to Rabbi Yonasan, all of Klal Yisrael could be yotzi with one karban Pesach. And I will say, before we explain how that works, just understand the beautiful imagery of it. There is no karban. I will say, in general, if you think about it, what karban do we have where all of Klal Yisrael could be yotzi with one karban? The truth is, you have it in the negative. You have something called the par halam davar min atzibar, where again, if Klal Yisrael does something wrong, You could have all of Klal Yisrael being yotzei with one carbon. But from a positive perspective, right, we'll call it a carbon kiyumis, you know, a positive carbon, you don't have it. Rabbi Yonasan says it is possible for all of Klal Yisrael to be yotzei with one carbon Pesach. That will say, now, look at Rashi, which is Momtap Rashi and Bezim and Aleph. What's the mechanics of that? So Rabbi Yonasan says it's very simple. I will say, when we see this, we know what's the immediate problem with this. The immediate problem is the way Karban Pesach works is every single person who is a participant in the Karban must have at least a kizayis of meat. So how can you possibly, no matter how zaftig that sheep is, it's not going to have enough meat for all of Klal Yisrael? So Rabbi Yonasan holds, he disagrees, he holds, you don't have to participate, you don't have to consume part of the carbon to be yotzei with it. Rashi says, Afa pishem ogzais l'cholecha de kasavar achilas psochem loma akva elazrikas dam l'chuda. So also Rabbi Yonasan is of the opinion that ultimately, again, you actually do not need every participant of the karban to eat some of the meat. Rather, again, he holds achila is not ma'akev. Achila is not the primary part of the karban. What's the primary part of the karban? Zrika. Shabbos says, Rabbi Yonatan says, technically speaking, all of Klal Yisrael can be yotzei with one Pesach. Shabbos says, you know, it's interesting. Speaking of, there's got to, even though, again, to be clear, we don't paskin this way, right? We hold that by karban Pesach, consumption is a necessity. Everyone who participates in the Karban Pesach must eat a kizayis of meat. So obviously, again, that would then negate this particular opinion. They would say, but like, b'derech hashkafa, what does it mean, shekol Yisrael yotzim b'Pesach echad? So they would say, if you think about it, perhaps, but b'derech hashkafa, the message is like this. What's Pesach? What's Karban Pesach? Right, again, we say in the Haggadah, Pesach al-shum ma, why do we eat Karban Pesach? Al-shum she-pasach ha-kadosh baruch hu al-bate avoseinu. Right, so the entire Yisrael of Karban Pesach represents the ability to jump over something. Right? What does it mean to jump over something? It will say, if you want to get from point A to point B, there's two different ways you could do it. Right? Either A, what do?
Walk.
You walk. Right? Or B, you jump. What's the difference between walking and jumping? Right? Walking is incremental. Jumping allows you to go ahead and get from one point to another much faster. They will say, what does it mean that shekol Yisrael yotzim bePesach echad? When it's called Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael is united, when there is achdus, then Abba said, do you know what we experience? We experience Pesach. We experience the ability to catapult ourselves forward. There's the ability for dramatic, instantaneous growth when it's Kol Yisrael. Kol Yisrael Yotzin. All of Klal Yisrael could go ahead and literally catapult themselves from one point to another, but Pesach Echad, when it's Kol Yisrael. And Abba said, you know, we speak about achdus all of the time. And we all know the importance of Achdus and the beauty of Achdus, be it on a national level or just simply even on a communal level. What we sometimes don't realize is the power of Achdus. The power of Achdus allows us to accomplish our national and individual objectives much faster than we can without Achdus. Achdus catapults us. Achdus is a Pesach. Achdus allows us not to walk, but Achdus allows us to jump from one accomplishment to the next. Such an incredible use. So that's why Achdus is important. I know we spoke about this yesterday morning a little bit, about the need to be mevater, the ability to create Achdus within Klal Yisrael. It's not just something nice. You know, we sometimes speak about Achdus as, oh, Achdus is so nice. It's kind of like, you know, whipped cream. It's nice. You know, if you don't have it, the dessert is still fine, but it's so nice. Achdus is not whipped cream. Achdus is the very key to the success of Klal Yisrael, the ability to catapult ourselves from one state to another. In any event, so the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Shliach, b'kachim inale. So where do we know the concept that you can have a Shliach by kachim? The Gemara says, Minei, where you can learn out from over here, right from Karban Pesach. V'doma shayni hasa. Maybe Pesach is different. Why? This le shutvos v'gavayu. So you're both saying, maybe you can't learn out Shlichos from Karban Pesach. Why? Karban Pesach is unique because the Shliach, while it's true, someone is shechting it on behalf of the collective, but at the end of the day, that person who's shechting it is what? He has a chilek in it. He has a chilek in it. So maybe the reason he could be a shaliach for everyone else is because he has the vested interest in it as well. Elamiyacha, rather we learn it from here. Vayichu lahem ish se lebeis avos se lebeis. The Pasuk says, Vayichu lahem, he will take for them, right? Or right, ish se lebeis avos. So we'll say the Pasuk itself indicates one person is taking the karban on behalf of the group. So you see that somebody is acting as a shaliach. So this becomes the very source for shlichos. Gemara says, but again, the dilma hasam nami di isle shutvos v'gavayu. So Rabbi says, here's the problem. Everyone is agreeing that clearly Karban Pesach operates mitam shlichos. So what's our problem? Our problem is we're trying to use Karban Pesach as the paradigm for shlichos. For shlichos. The Gemara says, well, maybe it doesn't work as a paradigm. Why not? Karban Pesach is unique because the shaliach himself has a vested interest in the karban. So maybe that's why shlichos works. But maybe in a different case, where what? Where the shaliach doesn't have a vested interest, maybe shlichos doesn't work. To which the Gemara says, in kain trei krai lamli. Here's the problem. But say, now I effectively have two psukim by Karban Pesach that teach me that shlichos works. So I will say, well, I don't need two psukim. Eino inyan lehecha deshayuch, tineo inyan lehecha delo shayuch. So I will say, so now I need one pasuk to teach me that shlichos works by Karban Pesach. But the truth is now I have an extra pasuk. What could I use the extra pasuk for? What could I use it for? To teach me about shlichos in general. to teach me the concept of shlichos shlucho shel adam kimoso. To which the Gemara says, no. I need that second pasuk Rav Osai for another halacha. Don't Rabbi Yitzchak ish zocha v'lo hakatan zocha. So Rav Osai, I need that pasuk for something else to teach me what. That halacha l'maisa a man. Look at Rashi ish zocha. It's the first short line in Rashi. Uli olam mishum de isle shud fuspik abayu. V'de ka'amres. So Rav Osai, the Gemara says, really, Karban Pesach can't be a raya for everything else. Why not? Because in this case, Karban Pesach, the shaliach himself has a vested interest in the agency. So maybe he can't create a paradigm from this. So what I need the other pasuk for? The ka'amrit imeino inyan inyanu lo the istrich lo the miute katan she'ein lo koach likach b'shil acherim lios zochel micho. Shabbos say the first pasuk teaches me that a shaliach could secure a Karban Pesach on behalf of the group. The second pasuk teaches me that a child cannot. A katan cannot act as a shaliach for the group. Okay? To which the Gemara says, V'lo a katan zocha. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, Hahu, me ish lefiach lo nafka. We learned that from a different drasha. The pasuk says, ish lefiach lo. Each person according to his consumption. What do you learn from ish? Ish, v'lo katan, not a child. To which the Gemara says, No. Ish lefiach lo, I need for something else to teach me what? That even if, I will say, it's actually interesting. The ideal way to shech the Karban Pesach is what? To make sure that you have enough people in your chabura to finish up the meat of the Karban Pesach. Remember again, what happens with leftover meat of a Karban Pesach? What happens with it? Okay? No, sir. You destroy it. So again, in an ideal world, you don't want to come to no, sir. Right? You don't want to come to no, sir. I'll say, what happens if you have a guy and he doesn't have a chabura, right? He didn't listen to the Achdus drushas, so what happens, right? He's by himself for Karban Pesach. What do you do in such a situation like that? So the Gemara says, you still shech the Karban Pesach, right? That's not from Ish Lefi Achlo. Even if there's only one person, and again, by one person, obviously you're going to come to Nosar, you still shech the Karban Pesach. So I'll say, he holds it, but again, this is Machlok. He holds the opinion, Ein Shech the Nesha Pesach Al Yochid. So again, apparently Rabbi Yonasan would hold of the opinion that no, you don't shech the Karban Pesach for the individual. So therefore, here's what we're left with. Remember, we're still in the same topic, which is, from where do we know the concept of shlichus? From where do we know that a person could dispatch an agent to do something, and that which the agent does is the equivalent as if the principal did it himself? Shlucho shel adam kimoso. So again, we have Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. He's learning it out from Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yonah's son doesn't learn it after Karban Pesach because he uses that pasuk to teach me something else. Once he got involved in that, now he got into a whole other bunch of other halachos regarding Karban Pesach. Fine. The Elah Adam Rav Gidol, Amrav, Minayin Shel Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso. So the Gemara now quotes another opinion. Rav Gidol says the name of Rav. From where do we know that a person's agent is an extension of himself? Shneemar V'Nosi Echad Nosi Echad Mimate. Shabbos says it's very interesting. Rav Gidol has a different makar. Rav Gidol's Makar Bosei is from the division of Eretz Yisrael. Division of Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, "V'nosi echad, nosi echad mimateh, tikhu linchol es ha'aretz." Rav Bosei, remember again, there was a tribal representative, a tribal prince, who was appointed to act on the interests on behalf of the entire tribe, and he participated in the division of Eretz Yisrael, thereby giving each tribe their portion. So that nasi was a shaliach, and essentially, again, he made decisions on behalf of the collective. That's shlucho shel adam kimoso. So the Gemara says, "V'nos yachar nos yachar matay teipok leishlichus mihacha v'tizbara dash shlichusu v'aktan lab neishlichus." The Gemara says, 1 second, is that shlichus? Is that shlichus? We'll say, here's the problem. Not the problem, but here's the issue. Who was included in that division? Who was included in that division? Children. Now we'll say, because remember again, everyone received, and understand the way it worked is, the way Eretz Yisrael was divided up was it was divided up amongst numbers, right? By tribes, but also by numbers. The bigger the tribe, ultimately, again, the bigger the portion. So included in this, Rabbi said, were children. Now, if you tell me that the Nasi was acting as a shaliach on behalf of everyone else, that's a problem. Why? Because there were children involved. Children are not shayach to shlichos, right? You can't act on behalf of a child, right? We'll see that you can technically. But lamaisa, again, there's no shlichos when it comes to children. The Gemara says, "V'tizbara d'ha shlichos, who is really shlichos? V'akitanim lav b'nei shlichos ninhu." Children are not in the parasha of shlichos. Take a look at Rashi. V'ha havunami kitanim, Rashi says, b'nochal ya'aretz, v'chi azochen lohem b'torah shluchin, bo falo ein shlichos l'katan. Both say there is no such thing as a shlichos for a katan. You cannot act as an agent for a child. Now we'll see there's a different mechanism you could employ to do something on behalf of a child, but there is no shlichos for a child. So Rashi says, I just want to point something out over here. We're going to come back to this in tomorrow's daf a little bit, because tomorrow we'll actually see the conclusion of this sugya. But Rashi references back to yesterday's daf, where the original makar, the original source for shlichos was where? Gerishin. Right, Gerishin, Vishilcha, Vishilach, Vishilcha. So Rashi references back there. And according to that makar, remember again, Gerishin, Kiddushin is all by adults. It's all by adults. And therefore, Allah Chalamai said there's no shlichos by a child. Fine, it's different. Back to this. Imar says, how can you tell me that the Nisim divided up the land al shlichos? There's no shlichos for a katan. Ela ki ha derava baravuna, damravuna baravuna, amrav, gidl, amrav. Rabbi says, you're right. It's not shlichus. Rabbi says, there's a concept, and a lot of times we blur the lines between these concepts. They're dramatically different ideas. The service of Gidl, from where do we know zachin la adam shalom b'fanav? Rabbi says, what's zachin la adam shalom b'fanav? Shalom means I could do something objectively beneficial for someone, even without their knowledge or consent. So I will say, from where do you know that? From where do we know that concept? Shenemar benasi echad, nasi echad. Oh, Rav Gimara says, you're right. The concept of the Nesim dividing up Eretz Yisrael, Bosai, on behalf of the Klal, was not a din in shlichos. What was it a din of? Din of? Zachin la'adam shlo b'fanav. I will say, now here you see something very interesting. I think we've always assumed, that zachin la adam shelo befanav, the ability to do something objectively beneficial for someone without their knowledge or consent, is a derivative of what concept? Shlichos. It turns out that it's not. Maybe it's like a cousin to it, but it turns out that it's actually a separate concept in halacha. What's the raya to that? That you could do zachin la adam shelo befanav even for who? For a child. And I will say, by the way, I want to give you just a contemporary example of where do we do Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav for a child? Ger katan. We convert a child, right? Let's say a family adopts a child, right? And they wanted, right? They adopted a non-Jewish child. They want to do a gerus. So what do we do? We'll convert. They adopted a baby. So we'll say, we'll do a gerus on that baby. But one second, how am I doing that? Obviously, the baby's not appointed me as a shaliach. The baby's a baby, right? So how am I allowed to convert a child? To which we'll say, what's the answer? Zachin la'adam shelo befanav. Now, again, I just want to be clear: you can't just take stama baby, go and convert it, right? In other words, right? You say zachin la'adam shelo befanav. That's not true. In other words, we wouldn't say that. We're talking about now a baby adopted by a Jewish family, where now again, contextually, it is a schos for that child to be Jewish. So we'll say, that's not shlichos, because the baby's a baby. There's no shlichos by a child. That's zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. So you see, you could do something objectively beneficial for even a child. So that concept may be a cousin to shlichos, but it's not actual shlichos. Absolutely fascinating. So the Gemara says, but one second, v'tizbara, zuchosu? Is that true? That ultimately, I will say, what the Nesim did with the division of the land was a schos. What about, the Gemara says, Hachova, Hachomnan, we'll say, that's not true. Di'ika d'nechali bahar v'lo nechali b'bika. Di'ika d'nechali b'bika v'lo nechali bahar. This for sure happened. And we'll say, what happens? Right, the Nesim do their chaluka, they do the division, they come back, report back to their particular tribe. Right, guys, I got us beautiful plains. And what happens? Right, plains. I wanted waterfront, right? Or again, got you beautiful waterfront. I don't like waterfront flooding, right? I want mountaintop. So let's say, for sure happened, right? Then I see him come back. So the Gemara says, here's what's interesting. Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav only applies with something that is an objective zechus, right? Let's say, I give an example. Let's say again, I hear that, I get a great stock tip, right? So I figure, you know what, Ruvain, my friend, always wants to make money. He likes money. So I figure, you know what, I know where he keeps his wallet. I'm going to go ahead, take money out of his wallet and buy stock for him. It's guaranteed. Right? It's always guaranteed, right? It's guaranteed. It's going to be great. So we'll say, so now, even if for argument's sake, it's a great investment and it is guaranteed, I can't do that. Why? Because we'll say, there, I'm spending his money. The act of spending his money, by definition, is a quote-unquote a detriment, even if at the end of the day, it ends out to be an incredible investment. Zochin la'adam shalo b'fanav only means you could do something for someone that is objectively beneficial according to everyone. So the Gemara says, now Rav Gidl is saying that ultimately when the Nesi'im participated in the division of Eretz Yisrael on behalf of their tribes, so it wasn't Shlichos, it can't be Shlichos because there were children involved, and children can't be involved in Shlichos. It was Zochin la'adam shalo b'fanav. But one second, it's not necessarily Shlichos. So remember again, objectively, if you secure one type of property, you're giving up another type of property. So maybe that's not a schus. Maybe that's a chov. Maybe that's something detrimental. To which the Gemara says, "Velikid Rav Barafuna, Dam Rav Barafuna, Amar Rav Gidla, Amar Rav Minayim Yisom Shabal Lachlok Benichse Avien Shebeizin Mamitan Lahen Apetropis Lachov Veliskos." So I say, how do I know that when orphans come to divide up their father's property, that what happens? Beis Din organizes for them an apotropus. Apotropus means like an executor. And that executor has the ability to what? To do things that are beneficial and detrimental for them. The Gemara says, Lachov? Really? The executor has the ability to do something detrimental for the Yisomim? So the Gemara says, Amai, Ela Lachov Amenas Liskos. Rather, Rabbi say what it means is he has the ability to do something detrimental on the condition or in order to do something beneficial. We'll say, what does that mean? Let's take this case in just a moment, right? Yeah, you saw him, right? So what happens? Father died, left behind children. They're minors. So Beis Din goes ahead and sets up an executor for each of them. What is the executor going to do? He's going to divide up the estate. Then I both say, when dividing up an estate, right, by definition, you can't get everything. Which means that in the division, by getting A, you're giving up what? By the way, this is an incredible yisod in life in general. Right? There are people in life who don't like to make decisions because when they make decisions, you're giving something up. It's true. Every single time you decide on... It's just like some people who never want to become fleishiks. Right, because for some reason, I don't know what it is, like they think like some kind of like, you know, ice cream sundae bar is going to show up at their thing. Right? There are some people who literally go through life like that, right? They don't want to make decisions because if I decide on A, I'm giving up B. That is true. The nature of decisions are that when you decide on A, you are giving up B, which is why we have to be so careful in the decisions we make in life. Every decision has a benefit and a cost. And that's why every decision you make should have a cost-benefit analysis. What am I getting and what am I giving up? And I will say, what an incredible Gemara to do on Erev Yom Kippur. Because I will say, so often in life, when we make bad decisions, we engage in chet, we engage in aveira, we take ourselves down the wrong path in life. It's not because we don't care, right? It's not because we're unconcerned. It's because we've failed to make the proper cost-benefit analysis. All I'm looking at is the benefit, and I'm just not weighing the cost. When the apotropus comes along and divides up the estate, there's a cost and there's a benefit. The benefit is the yasin is getting something. People say, is there a cost? Is there a cost involved in that? Absolutely, he's giving up something else. But that is the reality of making decisions. And therefore, again, the Gemara says over here, even though the yasin could later on claim, well, I wanted that. I wanted something else. Okay, at the end of the day, that's how life works. The apotropus does his best on behalf of the yasim, recognizing that the yasim is going to be giving something up and maybe the yasim is going to be unhappy, but that's the only way to move things forward. So I'll say something with the Nesi'im. So when the Nesi'im divided up Eretz Yisrael and each tribe has its Nasi, and the Nasi is negotiating on behalf of his particular tribe, again, let's say, does everybody end up with what they want? No. But Lamais, again, that was the only way to properly divide up land. So therefore, I will say, it turns out, interestingly enough, that what Rav Gidl originally suggested as the source for Shlichos, the Nesi'im dividing up the land is not the source for Shlichos. It is the source for another very important halacha, which is Zalkin la Adam Shelo Befanav. Incredible. Let's go back to Amrav Nachman Amr Shmuel. So we'll say, now we're going to go on a little bit of a detour with this concept. So Nachman said, name is Shmuel. Yisum Shabal Lachal B'nichse Avien. If Yisum come to divide up their father's estate, Bezdin Mamid Lan Apotropis, Uborin Lahem Chilek Yafa. So Bezdin sets up for the Yisum and Apotropis, an executor, and it's the executor's job to choose for each of them a good portion. Vimigdilu. They both say, what happens? The Yisum grow up. Some grow up, and what happens? They're unhappy with what they have. I'll say, by the way, another tremendous Musar HaSkil. You know, one of the most beautiful qualities of children is, assuming they have the right chinuch, is children are content. Children in their essence, right? Really, in their essence, are content. You know, everybody goes through this. You know, like, remember, again, if a person is zochet to have children, you remember your first child, so what happens? Again, first child, you know, there's the fancy toys and the this, and this is good for development, and this is good for brain stimulation, right? And they have all these toys, and you walk into the kitchen, and what happens? Like, they're clanking on a pot, right? Right? You're thinking, oh, what happened to the brain stimulation and this? What are they going to be? What's going to happen? Are they going to end up being a rabbi or something? You know, who knows what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So I would say, so interestingly enough, but there's an incredible Moshe Haskell on that, which is, you can spend all the money you want, give them a pot and a spoon, and they are as happy as can be. So you'll say, children, and that's the Musar to learn from children. Children are inherently happy. We'll say, what ends up happening in life? Higdilu. You know what the problem with children is? Right? They grow up, and we become adults. And when we become adults of us, you know what happens? Yicholim limchos. Then suddenly I'm unhappy. When I was a child, I learned the art of contentment. When I was a child, we'll say, what does a child need? A child needs someone to love them and care for them, food and shelter, clothing. Right? If I have that, if a child has that, happy as can be. Higdilu, we get older, and suddenly again we become very high maintenance. And so there's a lot that we need. The incredible thing about life, I was feeling a little contemplative today, right? The incredible thing about life is that life is this dramatic circle. Because as we get older, right, what do older people, right, what do they want? They want people to love them, shelter, warmth, and clothing. Right? It's this incredible cycle of life. It's just between the ages of like 18 and 68 that we become ridiculously high maintenance and difficult. But then something amazing happens. We just go back. We go back to finding beauty and contentment in the simple things in life. In any event, so Bezdin appoints an apotropos. What happens? The children get older. They could go ahead and object to the division. Rav Nachman, the day Amrav Nachman himself said, no. It's not true. Once the apotropos divides it up, the Yisomim can no longer go ahead and object. Why? Because if they're able to object, so the Gemara says, "Inkein ma koach Bezdin yofa." So we'll say, if the Yisum are able to object, then what good is Bezdin? In other words, what good is Bezdin's appointment of the apotropos if when the Yisumim get older, they have the ability to undo everything? So we'll say, so a fundamental machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, fine. Umi islei Rav Nachman, inkein ma koach Bezdin yofa. Does Rav Nachman really hold that way? The Gemara says, "Zemachim really hold that a ma'isa bezin can't be undone." Vatchan, we're going to listen to this. Shum hadayonim shepichsu shusus oho siru shusus. The boss saying, "I watch this case." Shum hadayonim means, let's say halacha lema'isa, Reuven lent money to Shimon, right? And what happens? Shimon defaulted, and now Shimon can't repay. Shimon has property, so now Reuven, the creditor, is going to seize property. Bezin is going to evaluate the property for the seizure. What happens? Bezin makes a mistake Let me read it exactly. Bezdin either undervalued pichsu shesus or siru shesus. They undervalued the property by a sixth or overvalued it by a sixth. Michran batel. Then ultimately, again, what Bezdin did is batel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer michran kaim. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, it's not true. Whatever Bezdin did is kaim, works. Why? Because in kaim, ma koach Bezdin yofa. Rav Nachman holds like the Chachamim, namely, that if Bezdin overvalued or undervalued the property by a sixth, then what? The sale is void. Rav Nachman is contradicting himself. Beforehand, Rav Nachman said, right, in the case of the apotropos, Rav Nachman said that when Bezdin establishes an apotropos for the children, the sum to divide up the estate, right, whatever the apotropos did is done. And even if the children grow up, or when they grow up, if they don't like the division, they cannot object. They cannot object. What's done is done. Yet here Rav Nachman says, in the case where the Bezdin undersold or oversold the property by more than a sixth, Ultimately, again, the sale is void. So what's going on over here? Tourist Gemara says, Lokasha, it's not a contradiction. On the base, Hadito, Hadiloto. Oh, was it very interesting? The first case by the Yesomim is where there was no mistake in the division. Just what happened, Rabbi Say, what happened? The kids don't like what they got. Okay, Rabbi Say, just because you don't like something in life doesn't mean it's broken. It's very important to Yesod. Right? Just because I am unhappy with something doesn't mean that there's a problem with the something. The problem may be with me. So the Yesomim grow up, they don't like what they got. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But there's nothing fundamentally flawed about the process, and therefore it can't be undone. We'll say in the case of where Beis Din undersold or oversold by the sixth, what happened over there? That's a mistake. Oh, so we'll say if Beis Din makes a mistake, Beis Din doesn't make a mistake, just ultimately, again, the Yesomim were unhappy with the final product, that cannot be undone. But if Beis Din made a mistake, right, they sold the property by too much or by too little, then Einach Inami, that can be undone. So the Gemara says, Idlo to, mayicholim limchos. So we'll say, if that's the case by the Yesomim, that Beis Din didn't make a mistake, then what would be the grounds for the objection for the Yesomim when they grow up? So the Gemara says, yicholim limchos baruchos. Again, the Yesomim say, right, they grow up and they say, you know what, one of the Yesomim says, I didn't want land in the west, I want land in the east. So that's what it means that they're disagreeing. So the Rabbi says, very interesting. So here you have Rav Nachman on record saying that Aloha Lamaisa, a Maisa Beis Din stands. A Maisa Beis Din, when Beis Din does it, it cannot be reversed. Because if Beis Din doesn't can be reversed, then what? Imkein Makoach Beis Din Yofa. What good are Beis Din's actions if they could be overturned and undone? The exception to that rule may be when Beis Din makes a mistake. Einach Inami, Beis Din makes a mistake. They oversold, they undersold something. Then Einach Inami, in that case, perhaps Beis Din's actions can be undone. Let's analyze a bit more. I'm Rav Nachman. Ha'achin Shechel, Rabbi say, very interesting case. In general, when brothers divide up an estate, so Rabbi say, this is now not necessarily, you saw, this is not children, it's adults, right? Father dies, it's a bunch of sons, they divide up the estate. They are viewed, harihen kilakuchos. So Rabbi say, it's very interesting. So they are viewed as purchasers from one another. In other words, the division of the estate is viewed as a purchase. Each brother, so to speak, buying out his portion from the other. Now, why is this important, Rabbi say? Therefore, Pachos Mishasos Nikner. Rabbi say, let's say it turns out that after the division is done, it wasn't fully equitable. It wasn't fully equitable. Some got more, some got less. So the Gemara says, now it depends how it was done, or it depends the we'll call it the level of inequality. Pachos mishasos. Sometimes they will say, if we're dealing with less than a sixth, right? So in other words, one brother got a little more, one brother got a little less, but the swing is, you know, is a less than a sixth. Nikna, we leave it as is. We'll say, what's the logic behind that? Because we assume in general less than a sixth, people are mochel. It's a negligible amount, people are mochel. Fine. So pachos mishasos nikna mekach. Yes, or al shusus. That will say if again the differentiation between the valuation of the different pieces is more than a sixth. That will say that's significant. Then batal mekach. Then I will say the division. He's calling it mekach, the sale. The sale, the division is batal, and they would have to redivide the estate. Shusus. What about if it's a one? What about if it's 1/6? That will say less than a sixth, forgiven. More than a sixth negates the transaction. What about a sixth itself? Kana. The transaction stands, the division stands, but the brother who got more has to give back that 1/6 amount to the other brother or brothers. Fine. Rava says, when we say that less than a sixth is forgiven, and therefore again the division stands, we'll say this is very interesting. This assumes that the brothers divided up the estate themselves. They will say, watch this. Let's say there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, three brothers. They're dividing up the estate. So when do we say, so let's say Reuven gets, you know, less than a sixth more than the rest of the brothers. Well, let's actually do it differently. Let's say Reuven gets less than a sixth less than the rest of his brothers. So what do we say? Aloha l'maisa? Fine. Division stands. It's a negligible amount. So comes along Rava says, when is that true? That's only true if Reuven participated in the division himself. Let's say Reuven appointed a shaliach to stand in his place to help with the division. And then it turns out that Reuven gets less than a sixth, less than his brothers. In that case, I will say ultimately again, the division is batal. Why? So the Gemara says, Because we will say, in that case, the shlichus is batal. Why is the shlichus batal? Because Ruvi can say, listen, shliach, I sent you to help me, not to put me at a disadvantage. So the fact that you did not, that you are not successful in creating an equitable distribution, at the end of the day, the shlichus is batal, and therefore whatever you did on my behalf essentially no longer is in effect. Therefore, the entire division will be batal, and they redivide the estate. Incredible. Furthermore, when we say that if there was more than a 1/6 difference, ultimately, again, the mekach, so the transaction is batal. Lo amar ella dilo amar, lo amar dilo amar ella, I'm sorry, lo amar ella dilo amar niflagin b'shuma de beidina. Now, we'll say that's assuming that they did not divide it up in Beis Din. Aval amra niflag b'shuma de beidina michran kayim. But if they divided up the estate in accordance with the valuation of Beis Din, then even if it turns out one brother got a sixth more than a sixth more, or one brother got more than a sixth less, right? Ultimately, again, Mechran Kayim, the division stands. Why? This not Shum Hadarim Shepech Sushesos, oh, Sirosesos, Mechran Batal, Rab Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mechran Kayim. Because Rab Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that Allah, whatever Beis Din does, stands. It stands. Even if it turns out that one got more than a sixth more, one got more than a sixth less, ultimately, again, it still stands. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Next, v'hada amran shus kana u'mach zir ona. Let's say furthermore, when we said that if there was an exactly a variable of 1/6, an exact sixth, so the division stands, but the brother who got more gives it back to the other brothers. Lo amran ela b'metaltali. That's only true, I'll say, if the division concerns movable property. However, aval ben mekarkoi, if we're dealing with real property, land, ein ona'a lekarkos. Let's say, very interesting. We have this concept. Ein ona'a lekarkos. There's no such thing as overcharging or undercharging for karka. Why, Rabbi Osai? It's interesting. It's not a new thing. Real estate has absolute subjective value. Right? So it's interesting. Metaltalin, in the eyes of Chazal, although you probably could come up with metaltalin cases that could also have subjective value, but in general, metaltalin is considered to have objective value. Objective value. Karka, we said, no, this real estate has there's no ona, because the value of a particular piece of real estate could change depending on the individual. So it's interesting, I will say. So when we say that if one brother got 1/6 more than someone else, that the division stands, but he has to return the sixth to the other brothers, that's only metalkalin. If it was karka, ein ona l'karkos. Ein ona l'karkos. Furthermore, we'll say again, but even with karka, when do we say there's no ona by karka? When is there no, ultimately, again, overcharging by karka? That's when you're dividing karka up by value. Ava palug b'mishchasa, I will say, what if you're dividing up karka by square footage? Let's say father dies, and he leaves a vast tract of land. So there are four brothers, so the goal is divide the tract of land into four quadrants. So each brother is getting a specific amount of square footage. And it turns out that now when you measure it up, one brother got more than the other, then I will say, then there quote-unquote could be ona. Then there would have to be a redistribution. Why? Because there, only time we say ein ona bekarkos is when you're looking at land through the lens of monetary value. But when you're looking at the division of land just simply through the division of square footage, then ein achinami, if one brother got significantly more than the other, and we're defining significant as 1/6 or more, then ein achinami, that would have to force a redivision so that everybody gets an equitable distribution. So the Gemara says as follows. This is very important. Rabba says, and this is how the Gemara will say, anytime you're dividing something up by either quantity, by weight, or by number, we'll say, those are exact amounts. Those are exact amounts. So let's say, imagine you go to the store, to buy, you know, a pound of meat. But the butcher gives you, you know, an ounce less. Butcher says, no, it's less than a sixth, don't worry about it, right? You're mochel. I'm not mochel. Why? Because I'm buying a specific quantifiable amount. In other words, we both say, the concept of ona'a applies to an item, a transaction that is based on value. Because value always has a little bit of a swing factor, and therefore there's a certain amount that's forgiven. But when you are buying something that could be measured in specific quantity, then I will say, if you don't get your quantity, then what? then ultimately the transaction is voided. Incredible. Let's go a little bit back. We just have another minute or two. So we're going to have this now, but we learn. So we'll say, send it back to Shlichos. Again, we'll say, just to be clear, we're still on the same topic. What's the same topic? Shlichos. Shlichos. What is the makar for Shlichos? We still have, we have a couple of suggestions, but the Gemara is still searching. Here we go. Someone puts a fire in the hand of a Chirish Shoten Katan. And we'll say what happens. Now the Chirish Shoten Katan goes and does damage. Ultimately, we'll say a person is exempt in the human court because I didn't do the damage directly, but Chayiv in Shamayim, Chayiv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shiliach Biad Bikeach. I will say, if I put fire, right? Because it will say, I didn't do the damage. I just enabled the damage to occur, but I didn't do it. Next case, Shilach Biad Pikeach. What if I put fire in the hand of a competent person? And he went ahead and did damage. Pikeach Chayiv. Ultimately, again, the Pikeach is Chayiv. Right? So I give fire to Reuven, and Reuven's a totally normal, healthy guy, right? Competent guy. He goes ahead and burns down Shimon's field. Reuven's Chayiv. Reuven's Chayiv. I be merciful. Am I? Nema Shlucho Shal Adam Kimoso. Why is Reuven chayiv? After all, again, we should say shlucho shadam kimoso. Reuven is my shaliach. If he's my shaliach, he's my agent. Then ultimately, again, I should be liable. We'll say, get ready. Shiny hasam de'in shliach ledvar avera. We'll say there's no shliach ledvar avera. The concept of shlichos does not apply to an avera. Why not? Daminon divrei harav v'divrei hatalmid divrei mishomin. We'll say when I go to Reuven, I say, Reuven, here's the fire. Go burn down Shimon's field. Right, so Reuven's going to act as my shliach. We'll say Reuven's also someone else's shliach. Who shliach is he? He's a shliach Hashem. A shliach Hashem. So I will say now Reuven is faced with a contradiction in shlichos. Right, I, Shmuel Silber, human shliach, am telling him go burn down Shimon's field. The Ribono Shel Olam is telling him don't touch Shimon's field. Reuven now has a choice who he should listen to, Silber or the Ribono Shel Olam. We'll say so now if Reuven chooses to listen to me over Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that's Reuven's own liability, not mine. So I will say, I just want to point out how incredible it is that we end off with this Gemara in Erev Yom Kippur. Right? Ein shliach ledvar avera. You know, I will say, a lot of times in life, when we make wrong decisions, we have a whole complex Torah as to why we did it. I did it because of this, this person, that person, right? I have all the excuses in the world. At the end of the day, I will say, the Gemara tells us, and this is our last message before Yom Kippur, Ein shliach ledvar avera. At the end of the day, if I do something wrong, I cannot claim I was under the influence of someone else. I cannot claim that someone else has liability or culpability for what I did. Ein shliach ledvar avera. Divrei harav, divrei hatalmid, mishomin. Are there influences in life that push us in different directions? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's also the influence of the Ribono Shel Olam. So now I will say, at any given moment, I'm about to commit an avera. And there are two voices in my head. What are the two voices? There's the voice of the Mishaleach, whatever that is, whoever the person is, the influence is, that is trying to get me to sin. And then there's the voice of the Ribono Shel Olam that says, don't do it, don't do it, I love you. Don't ruin the beautiful traction you have in life. And I will say, in that very moment, I have to make a decision. What's the decision? What's the decision? Whose voice am I going to listen to? Divrei Harav, should I listen to my Rebbe, to the Ribono Shel Olam? Divrei HaTalmid, or should I listen to the other influences in life? Mi Shomer. I will say, if you notice, by the way, the Gemara ends off, the Gemara leaves it off as an interrogative, right? The Gemara doesn't say, listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara leaves it off as a question. That's the question we have to ask ourselves in life. Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Mi Shomer. When you have two sets of voices in your head, who do you want to listen to? The Gemara doesn't tell us what to do or how to do it. The Gemara just says, that's a question all of us have to answer. Jose, as we go into Yom Kippur, the truth is, a lot of times, we've listened to the wrong voice. I've listened to the Talmud, and I haven't listened to the Rebbe. The good news is, new year, new opportunities, fresh start, an opportunity to do things differently going forward. Just because I've listened to the wrong voices in the past does not mean I have to continue to do so in the future. Right now, when I ask this question to myself, maybe the answer I give is, I've listened to Divrei HaTalmid. Maybe. Rabbi Osei, it could be that Emir Hashem, this could be the year where if somebody stops me on the street and asks me, tell me, Shmuel Silber, Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmid, Mishomin, when there are two voices in your head, the Rebbe's voice, and the Talmud's voice, who do you listen to? Halavai, we should all be zochet to answer with the resounding, Divrei Harav Shomin, all the time, in all situations, may be zochet. We'll say, Shkoyach Gimach HaSimitov, tomorrow's daf, during the break, what time is that? I have absolutely no idea. Whenever it is, in Yeretz Hashem, we'll say, Shkoyach.